goddamn evil. I don't know what it is about her. She was the most docile, calm, cool cat there was. We got her, and right about 6 months old, she was like, "No, I'm an asshole now." That's just cats for you, I guess.
No, I refuse to accept the idea that cats are just inherently assholes. I disagree with that. I seriously disagree with that.
Really?
Oh yeah,
all the times you watch them like knock shit off the table for no. I mean, I know it's them playing, and that's not technically assholish, but they still know that they're not supposed. You've told them no before, and they do it anyway. Like,
yeah, they're cute though. I don't know. I guess it helps. One of the cats I have acts like a dog, so there's that.
I've got the dog that acts like a wuss, so, and they both insist on being in here or in the mornings when I record now. So, yeah. We got a lot to get to, actually, so good morning, everybody. Welcome to LR Mornings today with Kyle and...
I was not making fun of you. That was just something I was doing again.
You did it again.
Jammer.
Son of a bitch. You have some Ray Fisher stuff that's got you kind of giggly. What you got, man?
Okay, so this is weird. So we know that Ray Fisher has been accusing people of things at Warner Brothers, and he's talked extensively about this in the past. I wrote something, I think it was last week. He posted something on Instagram. It was a full video kind of chronicling everything and how Warner Brothers tried to put out a thing to discredit him, and I'm not sure if you remember when they did that, but basically they said that he wasn't cooperating with the investigator, and then immediately Ray Fisher sent like a bunch of photos and stuff, and like saying like, no, here's the email that I sent, here's the email that this happened, da 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 da, and yeah, basically yeah. Disproving them right away, and but yeah, clearly Warner Brothers is not happy about what he's doing, so. Here is weird thing. Here is a very, 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 very weird thing. So he... Okay. This is really weird. Okay. So now Jason Momoa has come out in support of Ray Fisher. And here is the weird thing. Here's what he said on Instagram. This shit has to stop and needs to be looked at. Ray Fisher and everyone else who experienced what happened under the watch of Warner Bros. Pictures needs proper investigation. I just think it's fucked up that people released a fake Frosty announcement without my permission to try to distract from Ray Fisher speaking up about the shitty way we were treated on the Justice League reshoots. Serious stuff went down and needs to be investigated, and people need to be held accountable. I stand with Ray Fisher. So I reminded me about, oh, last July, or literally July 1st, there was an announcement that Warner Brothers, this comes from Deadline, and Stampede Ventures have set up a Frosty the Snowman live-action film that will see Aquaman star Jason Momoa voicing the iconic snowman. John Berg and Greg Silverman of Stampede produced with Jeff Johns. So John Berg and Jeff Johns are both people that Ray Fisher is going after. And now... Yeah. Freaking Jason Momoa is saying that it was a fake Frosty announcement. And then he says it was released without my permission to try to distract from Ray Fisher speaking up about the shitty way we were treated on Justice League reshoots. That is the exact day that Ray Fisher came out with that tweet. So the tweet that followed up. So 2 days before that, he said that he forcefully retracts that support of Joss Whedon. And then on July 1st, he did that tweet where he talked about, you know, actual problems that are going to be investigated. And on that same day, Frosty the Snowman live action. Bum, 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 bum. That apparently was fake.
It's fake.
What the fuck?
Huh. There's a lot to unpack here, because I'm starting to get the feeling that, yeah, they're not very, very happy with Whedon, but I'm starting to get the feeling that there were WB people on site every day, maybe even in Whedon's ear, and because a lot of anger seems to be aimed at Warner Brothers themselves now.
Well, Ray Fisher has basically been said that they've been enabling him throughout, like Let's see here. Okay, you're back on September 7th. So that was about a week ago, a little over a week ago. This is the one that I was talking about. He went a little bit more in detail about everything. So this is them. Let's see here. So earlier, I think it was mentioned that Walter Hamada over at Warner Brothers, he basically was just like, yeah, we'll worry about Joss Whedon, we'll worry about John Berg, but leave Geoff Johns alone because we're doing other stuff with him. That's basically what Ray Fisher said, is that they kind of agreed, but that they wanted Jeff, they had a hard time believing Geoff Johns would do the things that Fisher claimed. And then wow. Ray Fisher says, I go, Walter, you weren't there. I'm telling you, you weren't. You were not there when the man used back channel communications to call me into his office and made a veiled threat to my career. You weren't there for that. Johns contacted me in 2018, a year and a half after Justice League, to gloat that there'd be another cyborg being used in the DC universe in a show that he's producing. So yeah, just a bunch of things. I don't know. It's as much a big conspiracy to me. It sounds like the producers or Jeff, who was it? Joss Whedon was acting like was not acting well, and that the people and the actors didn't like it. It sounds like they probably went to the producers, who basically didn't do anything. And now it sounds like the Walter Hamada, based on everything that's being said, is pretty much trying to discredit him or sweep it under the rug. And then a part of that had to do with a fucking bogus Frosty the Snowman live action movie,
which I'm surprised is actually bogus. Christine and I talked about this last Christmas when we did the when we ranked the Christmas classics, you know, the old stop motion and 2D animated classics from like the 60s and 70s, Frosty, Rudolph, all those, we ranked those, and we wondered, like, where are all of the live action versions of these?
You didn't like Jack Frost the movie,
or CGI versions that should be here? That's way different than the regular Jack Frost cartoon, though. Oh, but I mean, it had Keaton in it, so
yeah.
I mean, there's that. I guess. That is crazy. I'm slightly biased towards Whedon because I'm a huge Buffy and Angel fan. I liked his work on a couple comics, including Extraordinary X-Men, I think, was freaking amazing.
You're talking about Astonishing X-Men.
Astonishing. Was it Astonishing? Yeah. So I have a little bit of bias towards him.
I mean, I like his stuff, like, too.
Most of the stuff that he puts out. So when you first heard that he was being like an asshole on set, it was kind of like bummed you out. But then you hear this other stuff about these Warner Brothers execs, and you wonder what they're saying to him, which could be affecting the way he is. It doesn't excuse it, but it might explain it. You know what I'm saying? So if he's getting his ass reamed by Warner Brothers and their producers to do this, whether he wants to or not, it causes his stress level to go up. He goes back on set and he blows up. Doesn't mean to, but he blows up because he's fucking human. Maybe.
I mean, it doesn't excuse it.
Still shouldn't have fucking blown up.
But we don't know. We don't know what happened exactly.
Yeah,
because we don't know. We don't know what they're complaining about.
Yeah.
Will come.
Yeah, as time goes on. And then the fact that they're trying so hard to protect Geoff Johns.
I mean, it makes sense because they're doing so much with him. They have a lot invested in him, so I guess it makes sense why they're doing that. It's not a huge mystery. It's like, why are they protecting him? It's like, oh yeah, they're protecting him because they have a lot invested in him. Makes perfect sense. They shouldn't do it, but it makes perfect sense. and I think the thing that the thing that Ray Fisher keeps pointing out is accountability is greater than entertainment. And yeah, I have to 100% agree with that.
So what do you think this means for the future of Aquaman and Cyborg in the DCEU?
That's a good question. I don't know. We're gonna have to wait for all this stuff to sort of shake out, you know, before we come to any conclusions.
I mean, it is all a multiverse, but Aquaman was their first billion-dollar movie, so like you really don't want to get rid of that guy.
I think they would lose a lot of good faith if they got rid of Aquaman, especially if they got rid of Jason Momoa as Aquaman, because people love him as Aquaman. I think he's great, I think the movie was okay, but I still really like him as Aquaman.
Hmm. I could get that.
Though on the plus side,
for the movie itself.
On the plus side, the movie did have an octopus playing drums, and that's always a huge plus in my book.
There's a dark scene in Teen Titans Go where Aqualad takes Raven down to the bottom of the ocean in an air bubble, and then tells all the sea life to play like music, right? So they start playing drums and seashells and stuff, and this big orchestra, because he knows Raven is all dark and twisted and stuff, he then calls a bunch of sharks to come and eat all the fish that were just playing.
Oh my music. God, what is that from?
Teen Titans Go.
Oh my God, but
that
was
chibi little children's cartoon. Is an American animated series.
What the heck?
That's my phone going off.
What did Siri think or Google think?
It started telling me stuff about Teen Titans Go.
That's funny.
Which I already know.
Oh, just a reminder. Make sure your alarm doesn't go off in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Did they actually show like the blood and stuff of that, or was it just implied?
Do you see like the leftovers? So there's like some bloody water and there's like some chunks floating.
That's funny.
you're like, oh my God, I can't believe they
I respect Teen Titans Go, but I couldn't get into it. I tried to get into it. I couldn't.
I loved it. It was upsetting that my son no longer, he seems to not like cartoons anymore. He's being weird.
He's going
through
a phase, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all right.
He's rebelling. He's rebelling because now the thing that mom and dad likes is no longer cool. And for some reason, cartoons are the thing mom and dad like. So it's like he's got to.
Yeah.
He has to find his own way. It's completely like a, what is it? It's Freudian in nature. He's got to fight back.
Yes. As long as he doesn't come out wanting to wear like Zach Morse preppy type clothing, I'll be okay.
It's like, Dad, you know what I really want? I want a Letterman jacket. You're just like, oh no, son of mine.
No. Not unless it's in something ROTC, then I can accept it. I got angry a little yesterday reading something.
Oh no.
I mean, and by a little I mean I got really angry. It's just Barside Buzz, you wrote it.
Oh no. What did I do?
Potential Final Fantasy 16 announcement on the way during
Wait, I want to guess why you're upset.
Why?
Because it's not Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Because VII Remake's not fucking finished. Yeah. You're goddamn right.
Okay, so to be clear, basically there's a rumor that Final Fantasy 16 is going to be revealed tomorrow, Wednesday, during the PS5 showcase that's happening. And the reason there's a bunch of evidence pointing to it. For starters, we have the showcase was retweeted by Shinji Hashimoto, who is the brand manager for Final Fantasy. He's also been a producer of a couple of entries, and he tends to retweet whenever Square Enix is going to put something forward. So there's that. Then there is the fact that they have finished pre-production in a new game that is rumored to be Final Fantasy 16. And then there's one other piece of evidence, but it does seem to be pointing to at least something is going to... Oh, yeah, there was a Twitter account that was created that's FF16_JP that is currently locked in private mode. And obviously anyone could have made that, but the fact that it's locked right now makes me think that it belongs... Because why would you... If you were like a troll, why would you grab that and lock it? Why wouldn't you just like use it or something, or at least put it out there and flaunt in front of Square Enix's face?
Like, haha.
Right. So, yeah, there could be a Final Fantasy 16 coming tomorrow. Or announcement, at least.
You know me. You say new Final Fantasy, and I'm usually the first person to jump up and down and be like, yay! But not while I'm waiting on part two of
I mean, they're still working on it. They're still working on it.
I don't give all resources. Like, this should be like, I used to have this thing in the army that I used to say, throwing more soldiers at a problem will not solve it, because we'd always get these leaders that would be like, you'd have a container, right? Like you see on the back of like shipping boats, like big shipping containers. You know what I'm talking about? Big metal boxes. Mm-hmm. You see them in movies.
Yeah, all the time. It's where Daredevil fights.
Yeah, we call them Connexes, and you fill them. They hold your tools, equipment, whatever you're shipping to deploy, your bags, whatever the case may be. We were organizing one of these, and there's only so much room. And this squad leader just kept wanting to send more and more people in there to, like, hey, you go in and help. You go in and help. And then you just have people clamoring all over each other. So on the one hand, I know that you can't put everybody on Final Fantasy VII Remake, but God damn it, put everybody on Final Fantasy
VII. Yeah, I know. You're like, basically the rational side is like, no, that's not smart, because, you know, they need to stay solvent as a company. They need to invest in other things. They can't go all in on one project. And plus, yeah, as you mentioned, having too many resources, you could have too many people on the same thing and just all of a sudden no progress being made and no one has enough to do and blah, 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 blah.
Double work getting done, people getting confused over what's been done, what goes where. Yeah, I can but the Cloud Strife fan in me is just like, god damn it, I want more next year.
Yeah, they have a lot of stuff coming down the pike. And then they also have Project Athia, which was announced last showcase, where they showed all the PS5 games for the first time. And I'm still not convinced that that's not Final Fantasy 16. Like, they called it Project Athia because why not? Because it was a project. I don't know. I just think that could be Final Fantasy. It may not be, but I still think it could be. Let's see here. What else? Later on, blah, blah, blah. 40 minutes, Final Fantasy. I'm seeing if there's any other evidence pointing towards that. Okay, so they also have Project Athia. Final Fantasy 5. Wait. Oh, Project Athia. That's from the developers of 15. Then Final Fantasy VII Remake 2, and now Final Fantasy VII 16. So yeah, I guess it's not that many. I'm sure there are others. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to find right now. There was, I think, this is it, Agni's Philosophy. Was that the one? There was a tech demo from Square Enix. They called it Agni's Philosophy. No. This is from long time ago. This is from before 15. This is what we thought 15 was gonna be. There's a different one. It was really cool. It's like this Asian setting. A young lady is waiting on another one to appear, and there was like some magic going on, and I wish I could find that video. If I find the video, I'll send it to you. It looked pretty good, and could have been interesting for something we might see in 16, or I wonder if they might go back to this Agni's Philosophy thing. But I don't want to see it take four or 5 years to get to 7 Remake Part 2. 2 or 3 years I can live with, especially if there's only 3 or 4 parts to the game. But you start taking 4 and 5 years to do this, and I'm going to...
I mean, here's the thing. Really, here's the fact is that it's so hard to successfully plan out a video game, because there's so many different aspects to it. Like, it's about, like, you know, adding mechanics, finding out stuff doesn't work, you know. It's just it's not like a movie. It's not as straightforward as a movie or a, you know, a story or anything. There's just so many moving parts, it's just real hard. It's really hard.
Yeah, but like I said, with 7 remake, the majority of the grunt work is already there.
To be fair, that's easy for
engine
us.
Engine is in place.
For us to say as people who aren't directly involved. Like, we don't know how much actual work is involved. It's not like it's...
They design new bad guys for the new
But I also hope
areas,
that they go and like, actually, I don't want it to be the same exact battle system. I know you do. I don't. Because can you imagine like 3 or 4 games of the same exact battle system?
Yeah, I can.
That would get old. That would get so old. Yeah.
Good with it.
I don't get you.
Very, very. It's a great battle system. I don't want to feel like I'm playing a different game every time I play through the next Final Fantasy VII installment. I want it to feel like it's part of this same game. I want it to feel like it could... like it's all part of one giant fucking game. This 7 remake project, which Brian and I still think they should go back and rename the first one. They should rename it Final Fantasy 7 Midgar, because I don't know what the naming scheme is going to be.
Oh, it's
going to
be Final
game.
Fantasy Remake Part 2 or Final Fantasy Remake
you
2.
Think so?
Yeah, probably.
I don't like that. I don't like
I agree, but at the same time I think the branding is important because there's so many different Final Fantasy VII's out there that it makes sense to like to
Crisis Core, Dirge Server, all the compilation stuff. I could see that. But I don't know. I'll cope with remake part 2.
I agree. It's not good in terms of like it doesn't really feel like it's, I don't know, remake just always feels like it's just less than because it's just, oh, it's just a remake as opposed to like its own important thing that you want to have it give its own identity, right? But at the same time, from a branding perspective and making it clear of what it is to an audience that might be only half paying attention, it's just like, I get it. Because yeah, sometimes... what works on a level, on like a marketing level, doesn't work on a creative level. But like sometimes it's like, oh yeah, I just have to go with it because that's what makes sense from this level.
Yeah. One last thing. I got to know what you think about Kang the Conqueror coming to the MCU via Ant-Man 3.
I'm surprised.
And Jonathan Majors being cast as Kang.
I mean, I think he'll be great. You know, he looks the part. You know, obviously put a thing over his head and put his head in some, you know, just to give him that sort of clouded look over his face. And yeah, he'll look the part just fine. He's a great actor. I've only watched 2 episodes of Lovecraft Country, but he's great in it. Like, he's awesome. So no complaints there. I think Marvel is picking him up at a perfect time, basically when his career is about to explode. So, yeah, he'll be a good get. I'm hoping that he is, like, just maybe kind of like how Thanos was involved in the Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. That's what I'm hoping for from this. Yeah. Because it would be weird if they introduce him and then they kill him off in Ant-Man 3. That would be weird.
Oh, yeah. Kang is too important. I mean, we did this Endgame, who's the next big bad, and Kang I think was my number one pick, because now they've fucked with time, and on the one hand it's like, oh god, another time travel related thing. Yeah, I guess you could go, you know, there's people that want to see Doom be a multi-movie bad guy or Galactus be a multi-movie bad guy.
I mean, those two
stuff,
could still come, you know, next phase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Kang is, I think, especially since Scott was the first one to fuck with time travel, so to speak, and he's been messing around there in the quantum realm, which allows time travel to happen. I mean, that's all Kang. And having him first appear, maybe be a little bit more involved than Thanos was in the first Guardians. But yeah, I like what you're saying. He should not be the main bad guy and die in this movie. And I would like to... Ow! I just kicked my cord on my headphones. Oh my god. That hurt. For those of you that don't know, I just I recently retired from the Army, and something I've been wanting to do since I was in high school was gauge my ears. So I got my ears pierced yesterday. I think I'm going to use the internal headphones tomorrow.
Yeah, because your shit's getting inflamed.
Yeah, but I texted because I got a little sister, right? And I can remember when my sister got her ears pierced at a kiosk in the mall with the gun, which of course being I'm no like body modification expert, but I've got a lot of tattoos and now I've got piercings. Christine's got plenty of tattoos and piercings and stuff, so we know a little bit about that little piercing gun at Claire's or at the mall kiosk versus actual surgical steel needles and stuff for piercings. And I told my mom and dad, I was like, you did this to my baby sister at a mall? You guys are monsters.
Well, did she want it?
Courtney was like two. She didn't know if she wanted it or not. That's the other thing some people get it done so young, I guess, so they don't remember the pain, which I can get, but then it's also body modification, so it should be their choice.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know,
that's fair.
I told Lucas when he gets older, if he wanted it, he could do it, but he would be very, very limited until he was 18. Mm. So,
yeah, I don't, I don't get piercings. I don't get it. That's not for me.
You need some tattoo work is what you really
need. I actually don't mind the idea of a tattoo. I have some idea. Eventually, I do want to get one, but I just want to wait for when I know what I want to get because I feel like it'll just mm-hmm. – it'll come to me when it sticks around for a bit. Then I'm like, okay, I definitely want that on my body for the rest of my life. So yeah, just waiting for urge to kick in, which it has not yet.
I at first wanted everything to be all meaningful, and then I was like, you know what? Fuck that. I love shit, and I'm putting shit I love on my body. So that's –
it doesn't have to be meaningful. Like, I just want to make sure that, you know, in 5 years, it's like, oh man, I don't really like that anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, how some people are, every tattoo has like for some people, their one or multiple tattoos has like some deep seated emotional meaning mm-hmm. and connection into life. And that's fine. I just want to put cool shit that I like on my skin.
Yeah, I think either one's fair. If it works for you, it works for you. Like, whatever.
Yep, yeah. So, there you guys go.
I feel like you were actually doing something. You were actually saying, we're talking about something completely different before you pulled your headphones by accident. Oh. What was it? Oh. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, Kang. We're talking about Kang the Conqueror.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I think we agree. We don't want him to be just sort of a throwaway villain, especially Ant-Man. And even if... I think it's a good role. I hope he's around for years to come. And I'm excited that this is kind of an indication. We also, there were rumors before that he is going to show up in the Loki show. Don't know.
Oh, yeah, because the Time Authority people are there.
Right. We don't know if that's true. But it would be interesting because it's interesting that if that's the case, that this showed up as an Ant-Man thing. Because it's not like he wouldn't, I don't think he would debut in Ant-Man. He would debut in Loki, and what's his name? Jonathan Majors, the actor, would have been cast for that as well. And I'm curious if there's any connection between those two. Like if the person who reported that was able to connect it to Loki at all, or if it's strictly to Ant-Man 3, and if that Loki news was or rumor was not accurate.
I don't know. We shall see here in the upcoming months.
Yes, we shall.
In the meantime, if you guys want to be kept up to date on all of that as it happens, make sure you are checking out lrmonline.com every single day for all of your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. YouTube channel is up. It's running still. Lots of celebrity interviews. Go ahead and subscribe. Hit like buttons. Tell the algorithm that you and others want to see more from LRM on YouTube, and do the exact same thing over at the LRM Online Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcasts from. I like SoundCloud, not an endorsement or anything, but I've been able to play with it and put all of our little shows into playlists. So if you like a particular show, you're on a road trip, you're at work or something like that, missed the last few episodes, you can use the playlist function there in SoundCloud. And yeah, so check that out. Like, share, subscribe, do all that the good stuff. Jammer, where can people find you at online?
You can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter, all of my entertainment news at LRMOnline.com. And of course, if you want to check out my novels, check out the name AJ Serna on Audible and Amazon for my books.
And you guys can find me ranting and raving about why Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2 is not out yet already at That Kyle Malone on Twitter. Thank you guys so much for listening. Tomorrow will be like a normal day, but we will cover Sony's announcements on Thursday. So yeah, be sure to, because while I hate Sony Pictures, I'm LRM's like PlayStation fanboy, so
yep.
Make sure you guys listen up on Thursday, and we'll give you guys all the breakdown and my opinion and stuff on what we see Wednesday. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.